You know, I had this cheer trying to get somebody to make some noise. It's sad. Sickening, really.
Somehow they coached me into doing this.
On the run out towards Braswell. Comes out of nowhere and swipes it away against the window.
I need to switch companies if Pauly was Employee of the Year.
There was a vote between his mother and father, and it was a split decision.
And now they're having fun.
See Buddy do it up.
Oh, okay. Okay, Buddy.
Quincy's monster.
To the rim for Gurriel.
I saw some split things on the ground. I said, yo, is that a dude?
Syracuse right back the other way. Dolezal in transition lays it in, gets the friendly roll. Gerard, a deep three. Got it. Fans might want to get used to seeing that.
This is Orange Nation with Stephen Fonte.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us. Stephen Fonte, Pauly Sibilia back with you from noon until 2 on a Wednesday edition of Orange Nation. We've got two guests lined up for you. We've got Danny Shea set to come your way at 12:30. He joins us at 12:30 every Wednesday throughout the college basketball season. And then Brian Higgins will join us at the top of hour number 2. The SU women with a big win yesterday, avenging their only loss of the season, taking care of North Carolina, coming from behind in that game in the fourth quarter to take care of North Carolina. We want to hear from you as well, 315-437-7644. And speaking of big wins, Pauly, we do begin with the men, and that was a big win last night for a lot of reasons and a lot to get to from that game. What happened on the court, what happened in the post-game press conference afterwards. I think we do have to start with the main headline, and that is what Jim Boeheim said following the game, that both his son Buddy and Joe Girard had COVID during their latest pause, and they're still trying to work their way back from it. It does explain a lot of things, I guess you could say. It does explain the up and inconsistency to some degree, and now that it's out there, I'm glad everybody knows about it. Joe said that him and Buddy feel like they're close to 100%, and they certainly look like it last night against Miami, both dropping in 23, and the Orange played awfully well from start to finish.
Yeah, it's weird that we would take that as the big thing out of this game last night. You know, I think it was kind of obvious some people on the team had it at one point or another. Syracuse won last night in a way that I don't think anybody could have expected Syracuse getting a win last night. You know, you don't expect Marek Dolezal to take one shot and win. You don't expect to get 2 points out of, or 5 points out of Alec Griffin and win a ball game. You know, I was shocked at how this team literally thumped Miami with the way this team played last night and who carried the team to the win.
Yeah, and I mean, the game turned in the blink of an eye, right? I mean, Miami gets out to the 11-2 lead. Marek picks up his second foul 6 minutes in. In comes Jesse Edwards. Right after that, in comes Kadari Richmond. Originally, it looked like he was going in for Joe. Joe started to come off, and then Jim Boeheim was like, no, you're staying in the game. And it was Buddy who came out. Joe moved to the two, and then immediately they go on a 9-0 run to pull even. Joe gets hot during that run. Kadari was a big reason for that. Obviously, he helped spark it. Joe looked awfully comfortable at the two last night. We know Kadari could play the point. And to your point about Jesse Edwards, he was functional last night. He was more than functional. He came in, he provided some really good minutes. Jim Boeheim has repeatedly said he's not ready to play yet. He did look ready last night. Now, Miami's not awfully big, and I get that, but that was a big step forward, I think, for Jesse and a good option to have, hopefully, for this team moving forward.
Yeah, and I think he can give you 10 minutes, right? And I said this the other day. He can give you 10 minutes. I mean, there was only a couple things I noticed, and I'm not like basketball guy. He gave up a couple easy shots in the lane that he should have been able to block, I thought. You know, just a couple little floaters or jumpers. But that was it. And Coach Sadlin said something last night that clicked in my brain that seemed right about Syracuse basketball. Pascal Chukwu didn't do much as a center for Syracuse basketball. You know, he had a couple standout games, but he's big, and with him on the back of the zone, it completely changes the outcome of a basketball game because you can't drive in and score layups against a bigger body like that. And Marek just adds no resistance at the back end of that zone.
Yeah, and I do caution those that are excited about last night that it was one game.
Yes.
It was an encouraging game out of Jesse. Can he do that on the regular basis? I don't know as if we can expect that on a regular basis out of Jesse. And maybe someday, maybe that someday is next year. I don't all of a sudden think he's going to start getting 20 minutes. I think last night, for a lot of reasons, it worked. It had to work in the first half because Marek picked up two fouls right away. And again, Miami isn't an overpowering team necessarily on the inside, but he went out and he did his job. And to your point, there are little things you notice. He's not the strongest, young man down low. He's working on that. There was a play, Jesse kind of slipped the screen. Joe gave him a nice bounce pass, and he didn't quite catch it. He's working on his hands. He's working on all those things, and those things will come as he gets more playing time. I don't all of a sudden think he's going to get 20 minutes, but to your point, and I've been skeptical about this, about whether or not Jesse can give you, 8 to 10 solid minutes, he showed last night that he is at least capable of giving you quality minutes. Now, whether or not that'll continue, that remains to be seen, but with Barama out and no sign of Barama coming back, and again, Jim Boeheim, was asked about it last night, and he said he's not practicing. Essentially, he's out indefinitely. I don't know if or when we're going to see Barama. So it's good that you have this option now. And Jesse came in and did his job. And I do think that it's a very encouraging sign for this team, because you know that at the guard position, you're fine with a backup. You've got three guards that are when they're all playing well, man, this team's tough to stop. We saw them all play well last night, and they're a completely different team when all three guards are playing well. You're fine at the forward position. You know that, when Woody Newton is able to come back, he can provide you quality minutes. Robert Braswell has shown he can come in and pick up the slack when needed. You the one position, Paulie, that you don't have anybody to go to this point has been the center spot. And if Jesse can be an answer and an option at that center spot, you feel a lot better about this team.
How low are we setting the bar for Jesse, though, too? Like, we don't know if we can expect out of him what we got last night. He had six rebounds. You can expect that out of – you're setting the bar way too low if you can't expect what he did last night every night.
Well, Marek had two rebounds the game before and played 39 minutes in the center spot.
Yeah.
So six rebounds, I thought, again, he's not necessarily an offensive threat, but last night he made the most of his opportunities. And that is one thing you got to keep your eye on when Jesse's in the game, is that I think you saw it anytime there's a high ball screen, they're not even guarding Jesse, right? And so that creates more attention on the guards or whoever's coming off that screen, is that now the big guy defensively is going to flash, and it makes it more difficult for the guards to do things. But if Jesse can make the most of those opportunities, if he gets a pass, can he finish? If he gets an offensive rebound, can he finish? And he did those things last night. He scored 7 points. So, yeah, I guess the bar is low, Paulie, but he surpassed my expectations last night. I didn't think he was ready to do something like that. And again, let's see if he can do it on a regular basis. But he did open my eyes last night with that performance.
Yeah, I don't think we need 7 points out of him every game. Like, I'm not even looking at the offensive end of the floor with him.
You just got a rebound,
and you've got to alter the way another team runs their offense. It's all you need out of him.
Yeah,
and he did that.
Fair
last
point.
Night. So, and he's got good hands.
He catches the ball. He's a work in progress. I don't think there's any doubt about it that he's a work in progress. But we saw progress last night.
He's far better than Barama on the offensive end. I think far better. Got softer hands. Far better on the offensive end. They're not going to run. I'm not saying they're going to run the offense through him, but I would rather throw the ball to Jesse than Barama.
I mean, Barama had 5 double doubles last year. I don't know if he's far better. Let's pump the brakes on that. But he can do some different things, right? I mean, Barama's not hitting a 6-foot floater. Jesse has the ability to do that. Jesse did what he was asked to do last night: finish around the basket and rebound. And, maybe alter some shots, be a big presence in the lane. He was able to do that.
See, I don't think it's crazy to say that he's far better on the offensive end, because you want this. That's all you want out of the center this year is defense and rebounding.
Yeah.
I think Syracuse would be better with Barama on the floor. I just think Jesse's got better hands and better footwork and everything else than Barama has. So,
yeah. And he, again, work in progress. And, and we did see progress last night. Let's, I think, get to some comments from Jim Boeheim now. And I think we should start with the I don't want to call it a bombshell, because I think we all kind of suspected that, you know, the COVID was an issue for Buddy and Joe, Joe in particular. But it does make a lot of sense now that Jim Boeheim spoke up, and then, you know, reporters were able to confirm it with Joe last night on postgame, and he talked at length about it. So here's Jim Boeheim delivering the news that his son and Joe Girard both battled COVID during the latest pause.
I think Buddy's just starting to get his rhythm back a little bit from all the time out and being having the COVID, the whole thing. He's, you know, I think he's getting it back. Both Joe and Buddy were out with it. So they were out. They were sick and they were out. So that takes... People forget. Everybody knows this happens and knows that they were, but then they expect them to come back and play like nothing ever happened. And it just doesn't work that way.
That's the one thing I'll take issue with on that whole thing, Paulie, was that Coach says everybody knew this.
No, he didn't.
Everybody knew that they were sick. No, we didn't. I mean, we, again, there were signs. I mean, I think we all kind of suspected, and we, you know, we're wondering out loud, you know, what's going on? Joe doesn't look like the same player. You know, Buddy's been up and down. What's going on with these two? And again, I mean, off air, we've talked about this, and I suspected that Joe had it. And you know, Buddy obviously was in and out of contact tracing, and you know, he's been dealing with it more than anyone, because he had to, you know, sit out those three games. So I mean, we've been kind of wondering aloud, but we never knew for sure, because, you know, nobody up at the university will tell you, and they don't have to tell you, and that's fine, that's their prerogative. But then Jim Boeheim can't say, well, everybody knew they were sick, and you can't just expect them to come back and, you know, be great right away. This does explain some things, though, about the, you know, the up and down nature and the inconsistency, I think, of the backcourt.
Right. And you're right about him saying that everybody knew. If we knew, we would have said that we knew about it. You know, it's crazy. But though this team's good, I think, you know, and I think we need to just stop overanalyzing it. And Joe played great last night. And now, was it because Joe was off the ball last night? That was a question I was going to ask you later on. Do you think Joe played better last night because he's feeling better? Or do you think it was because he was off the ball last night? He scored a lot of his points when Kadari was in the game.
He did. I think it was a combination of a lot of things, Paulie. I think it was, you know, and he said he's more comfortable with the ball, but last night, maybe he gets some more opportunities off the ball and better opportunities. And Coach Boeheim referred to this in the postgame press conference. I think he was spot on that Joe played smart last night. Joe played smart basketball. And one of the issues I think that has affected him in the first part of the season has been poor shot selection at times, poor decision-making at times. And last night, maybe being off the ball, you had an opportunity to get better shots and better looks and not have to try to do everything himself. And he could be more of the scorer opposed to a facilitator, which is not necessarily his strength. So, yeah, I think some of it was having Kadari at the point. I think some of it is he's feeling better. And I think some of it is a couple shots went down and, you know, maybe it allowed him to relax a little bit and just play like we know he's capable of playing. We saw the Joe Girard last night that we saw last year. I'll go back to that about the swagger and the confidence and the, you know, the precision, and he played smart basketball and he was into the game. His body language was good. And again, that was all things that we observed before Jim Boeheim said he had COVID. He got back to being the player that he was last year, I thought, last night, Paulie.
Yeah. And I also think that he is a different player today, because now that we know the whole COVID thing, I think the whole team last night looked like they were quicker. Did it not seem that to you too? Like, maybe now it is all clicking in our heads that, okay, this team was out with COVID. The defense looked a step faster. You know, everybody looked a step faster last night. I don't know if it was a higher effort level or maybe it is just the conditioning is getting better.
Yeah, it could be both those things. Could be a little sense of urgency, the fact that they started, 2021, 1-3. It could be the fact that conditioning is better, that things are starting to click. You know, we haven't even talked about the defense yet. This is a team that gave up 64 points in the second half on Saturday to Pittsburgh. They come in and they hold Isaiah Wong, who dropped 30 on Saturday against Louisville, to no field goals in the first half. You know, they knew where he was at all times. They made his life difficult. He didn't make his first basket until essentially the game was out of reach in the second half. So I think we should bring up defensively this team was very, very good last night. And obviously Miami struggled from three-point range. But some of that was them missing shots. And I think some of it obviously was Syracuse made their life difficult.
Yeah, the one thing I noticed on defense too is this Syracuse basketball team is completely different with Kadari at the top of the zone. He is a beast at the top of the zone.
He
completely changes the way this team plays defense. He had 5 steals last night. They are a better defensive team with him at the top of the zone. And I don't know what you can do about that when you've got Buddy and Joe that are going to take a bulk of the minutes because they can score. But defensively, he changed the game with his defense.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Jesse Edwards being a factor in the middle of the zone and changing shots. He changes the way teams can rotate the ball around the top of the key, around the perimeter. He gets his hand on a lot of passes. Yeah. Even the ones that he didn't end up stealing, he knocks them away or, just kind of disrupts the rhythm of the offense. He was terrific. 8 assists, had the 5 steals. He's, a work in progress with his shot, but he's able to get to the basket. He's a dynamic player, and you say, how do you fit him into the rotation or how do you get him more minutes? We did see last night that they played a 3-guard lineup with success. Now, again, some of that is the opponent. We got to keep coming back to Miami's not all that big, and you can get away with Buddy on the back end of the zone. And it was working last night, and everybody was making shots. So there are ways to work those guys, into the equation together. I just don't know if you do it on a regular basis. It's going to have to be, I think, on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, and we haven't even hit the one thing that I think was the ultimate deciding factor early in the game that put the game away altogether, and that's Quincy Gary. He had NBA moves last night. He scored 18 points, 8 rebounds. They couldn't guard him early on. He was the difference early on in that game, and Syracuse is down 9. He was on the block. He was impressive last night. And if we say, can you get this from him? They need to expect what they got out of Quincy last night every night if they're going to win a lot of games this year.
And I think you can, frankly.
You're right. Yes, that's what I'm saying too.
That's as good as he was. This is going to sound strange, Paulie. As good as he was, that felt like kind of just the baseline effort from Quincy, 18-8. Like that's kind of what you sign up for with him, isn't it?
Yeah. I thought he was the complete difference early on in the game. Like when they fell down 9.
I'm not saying you're wrong. You kind of expect 18-8 now out of this guy because he's that good. And he's, he's a guy that you can count on. He is turned into the best player on this team. I mean, we weren't sure when the season started. I think we're all sure now that Quincy's the real deal, and Quincy is definitely the best player on this team. We do have to take a timeout. Full lines are open, 315-437-7644. Back after this on ESPN Radio.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1. Live from Armory Square, this is Orange Nation.
Steven Ponce, Paulie Sibilia back with you on a Wednesday edition of Orange Nation. We're with you up until 2 o'clock. 315-437-7644. Brian Higgins set to join us in about 10 minutes to talk some SU women's basketball. The ladies up to number 23 in the latest AP poll. Another big win yesterday as they took care of North Carolina, avenging their only loss of the season to date. So that's coming up at the top of the hour. But back to the phone lines we go. Dave in Syracuse up next on the show. Hey, Dave.
Hey, fellas. Very quickly on Kadari, my observation is that the concern that with his shot as far as being in the game because the shooting falls off. Guys, from what I observed, Joe Girard, Buddy Boeheim, Alan Griffin, Quincy, they're all better shooters when Kadari is on the floor. Nobody draws the defense like this kid does and has the talent to find the open person when he does draw the defense. So I would contest that we are a better shooting team with him on the floor than off. And to be honest, I know Jim's going to play him from here on out, but I don't think he should get less than 30 minutes a game. I honestly do not see a scenario where Syracuse is a better basketball team with him on the bench. So going forward, I really hope that we see more of Kadari than we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I appreciate you checking in, Dave. I'm going to put you on the spot, Paulie, because we do get a lot of this, that Kadari needs to play more. How many minutes do you think he's averaging this season?
12.
21 and a half.
Whoa!
Right?
Yeah, I wouldn't even come close to that.
Yeah, I mean, it surprised me as well. Kadari's got to play more. Kadari's got to play more. Playing 21 and a half minutes on average. And again, it's fluctuated. He's had some, you know, when Buddy was out, he obviously had some games where he played a lot, played 35 against Niagara, 31 against Ryder, 37 against Rutgers.
Right.
So that skewed it a little bit, but played 9 in the opener against Bryant, had that the game against Georgetown where they only played 6. So he's had, you know, on the high end and the low end, but it averages out to 21 and a half minutes. You know, the last 3 games, played 20 against Miami, played 18 against Pitt, played 16 against North Carolina. He's getting some time. And yes, I agree that, you know, he needs to get minutes. But that's what we talked about, is if he plays half the game. He's been playing on average half the game. And I think we're going to continue to see him play, you know, 20, 22, 23 minutes. There may be games where he plays more. There may be games where he plays a little bit less, depending on the situation. But, you know, the notion that, he's, you know, what did you guess? 12 minutes?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's right where, off the top of my head, I was thinking he's, you know, he's probably playing in the low teens. You know, the numbers say he's averaging 21 and a half per game, which I did find interesting, because it does seem like it's less. And the way that, you know, we've been talking about it all season, it seems like he's barely getting any minutes.
Yeah. It this year is crazy, too, because you don't think back to the Rutgers games and the Niagara games, because it feels like 2 seasons ago, because they didn't play for so long. So you completely forget
That's
about
true.
It. Coach Boeheim actually hit on them playing with a 3-guard lineup. But if you want to hear that, you're going to hear it. How's that?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. That was they were key. And then we had Buddy at the 3 when we really got going there. And, you know, that's when we took the lead. We put the 3 guards out there and Jesse and Q. That was a good lineup. Kadari made some really good passes. He got in the lane. His defense was exceptional, but he got into the lane, made some really good passes, got the ball to open people, and, you know, we made shots.
And I think what you're seeing, Paulie, is that this team does have options. And Coach Boeheim is comfortable playing 7 guys. And we discussed this at the beginning of the season when Seth and I were still doing the show together, that, you know, the 7 may change. I think you've certainly got the 6. And then that 7th guy, you know, it could be Jesse one night. It could be Robert Braswell one night. It could be Woody Newton one night. You know, so that 7th guy may change, or maybe there's an 8th that sneaks in there and gets 5-6 minutes based on a certain opponent. But this team does have options. They can go with 3 guards. They, you know, could potentially move Griffin to a 2 if they needed to go bigger in a certain game. You know, Marek and Jesse can play on the floor at the same time. Kadari and Joe can play on the floor at the same time. Buddy can move to the back of the zone. There are options with this team if they're willing to look at those options. And I think last night we saw a case where they kind of stumbled upon this lineup that, this is pretty good. You know, when you go up against a team that's maybe not too big down low, Miami's not that big, it worked, and it worked well.
All right, before we get to the top of the hour, I want to hit you with one last question about this basketball team. Alan Griffin, what do you see his role moving forward on this team, Steve? It's kind of, 'cause he's either really good or he's non-existent, and it's kind of troublesome, and they need him to score. And I've kind of, it's kind of weird. It seems like some days his head's not in the game at all.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring him up, and this could be a larger topic that maybe we delve into more, you know, when we have a little more time. But you're right. Some days he does score, like on Saturday against Pitt. If he didn't score against Pitt, yeah, Syracuse might have lost by 100 in that second half. You know, he scored 28. He played well. And then there are other games, like last night, he put up two early air balls. He seemed out of it. You know, I think my take on Allen is that he's still trying to figure out his role with this team. You know, he obviously transferred over. You know, I think he's got high expectations. I do think sometimes when he's out there, he tries to do too much. I think that's led to, you know, the high number of turnovers for him. We know that he's a scorer. We know he can shoot. But, you know, just like people have been looking at Joe saying, oh, shot selection here and there, it's questionable. You know, Allen Griffin, I think that's been one of my biggest issues with Allen, has been his shot selection at times, his decision-making at times, high number of turnovers. He does take bad shots. But there's no question the kid's talented and he can score. And, you know, he has games like he did against Pitt where he drops in 28. I think he's got to settle more into his role and maybe stop putting so much pressure on himself. To me, that's what I see. It's a guy that when he's out there, sometimes he's trying to do a little bit too much. We saw Joe at times trying to do a little bit too much. Last night, he let the game come to him. Some of that was Kadari was out there and helped the game come to him. But I think Allen maybe has to take a little pressure off himself, let the game come to him a little bit. So I think he certainly has a role, but as we've seen, if it's not there for him on a given night, Coach Boeheim, you know, isn't afraid to go to other options off the bench. We've seen him go to Robert Braswell or Woody Newton. You know, and last night it was Jesse that kind of got into a rhythm, and so Marek was out there with Jesse.
Yeah, it's crazy how he was a different player when we go back to that time. I say we forgot about when Buddy was out. He was a completely different player then, when it felt like the onus was on him to score.
Right. And so maybe he's more comfortable in that. And when there are more options on the floor, maybe he feels pressure to, I got to take advantage of my opportunity. You know, I got to get mine in a selfish way,
no,
but just I got to get my opportunity. You know, I'm looking for my opportunities. There's a little more pressure for him to get an opportunity. Whereas when there's less, you know, when Buddy's not out there, there is more of an onus on him to score. And so I do think maybe it does make him relax because he gets more opportunities. And that's a case of the game coming to him, letting the game come to him. Whereas, you know, when they've got, you know, a full roster at their disposal, maybe he does put a little more pressure on himself to kind of get himself going.
And I will give him credit. Last night he was struggling, wasn't on the floor. He was the first kid out high-fiving his teammates at timeout. So I will give him credit for that.
Right. Right. Absolutely. 315-437-7644. Hour number one in the books. We'll kick off hour number two with Brian Higgins right after this on ESPN Radio.